Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Kavan. I'm J.L. Kavan, here as always with Mike, the producer.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. Excited to be here. And I think my mic's going out, but I fixed it. How you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for asking.
Interesting shirt, J.L.
Well, you know, I know what a big fan you are of Bono and the Boys. So I'm wearing my my Octung Baby Sphere shirt. I got myself a souvenir. And I bet you white really doesn't in the pale winter months for me. White just really makes me look whiter. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's not my color.
You're also against the white background. There's a lot of white going on in that shot.
One might say I'm in a white room with dark curtains. Black curtains. Is it black curtains?
Black curtains.
Black curtains.
At the station.
See, my audience loves Cream references.
I fucking love Cream. Hate you too, but love Cream.
All right. Cash rules everything around me. And that's just for our younger, that's for our 40 to 45 demo.
Right. 65 plus, they're in on the Cream references.
Oh yeah, they're like fucking Clapton, baby.
Should we do some Buddy Holly stuff?
Pig Sue. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good Buddy Holly. I crush on the circuit with my Buddy Holly impression.
Mm-hmm. Me and Gary Busey. You know, I used to play Buddy Holly. Now I look like an elderly, coked up Eric Trump.
Anyway, haven't used the Gary Busey in a while, folks. Haven't used the Gary Busey, but there it was. Is he dead yet?
No,
fuck yeah. He's still alive. Anyway, you too. Funny thing is that when the guys from Barstool Sports are rival, like we're competing, I think, for 1 and 2 in terms of like market share.
Maybe in a couple of years.
Well, yeah. But I like pizza.
Don't we all?
So I could be Portnoy. I like sports and I like pizza. It's really just the broness and the occasional misogyny and racism that's really holding me back, I think.
Yeah.
The fact that I don't do it.
Right.
Right. Like I'm saying, you know.
That's the secret to success.
It is. But a couple of those guys, I don't know who they are, but they it was a viral video where they were on the Pat McAfee show, I think. Mm-hmm. And talking about how they went to see U2 at the Sphere. And they were like, I mean, the venue's great, but they need to like pack it up or move on. Cause I don't even recognize any of the songs they were playing. And I was like, if you said they were terrible, but what are you doing at a U2 concert? Like, then you don't know U2.
Right.
They weren't doing B-sides from like their 1981 album. They were doing Octung Baby. For my money, their greatest album. Most people would have it at number 2 at the lowest.
Right.
Plus Beautiful Day.
Right.
And like Elevation. And like, if you don't know those, like Where the Streets Have No Name, like if you don't know these songs, then then you've never heard of U2. It's a weird complaint. And I feel like maybe that's them doing this will go viral if we take like some sort of absurd extreme take.
Maybe. But maybe they just wanted to hear, yeah. And they did it.
Dos, tres, catorce.
Did they play that when you saw them?
I don't think they did.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe it's the only U2 song that they know.
Or did they? Vertigo?
Yeah. I hate them. Oh, God.
Well, you know what? This is all going to be in my mind, as you know.
Dude, I'm so sorry. They find a way to just ruin even like the good stuff that they do. I actually really like In a Little While. I think it's a great song. But
that's, you've got to go deep, like medium, deep cut.
I love In a Little While. I think it's a beautiful song.
Sure, but like that... You just waded through like I don't know how many hits and iconic songs to be like, I discovered track 9 on their 9th album. Good one.
But
I
it's
found good. One that works.
I like it, but so the reason why it sticks out in my head, it's because it's a song that I found that it likes. It's, yeah. You know what it is that I like about it? It doesn't sound like super edgy. Like he just plays, it's like an actual lick. You know what I mean? It's not like him playing two chords and it sounds like a spaceship. I love that you hate
the edge just like Corolla hates the edge.
Oh, I hate him so much.
Corolla just goes.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
Every U2 song is just like, baka, 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 baka.
Yeah. 100%.
God.
You know, but then I found a video of them doing it live and Bono ruins it by saying, I just wanted all of you to know this is the last song that Joey Ramone listened to before he died. Edge, hit it. And then they play the song. It's just like he can't help himself from being insufferable.
Wow, 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 wow. They are such a great band. And I do not endorse any of the hate speech that Mike is spewing right now. But I just thought, but in all seriousness, that's either got to be a dummy or somebody literally trying to make an algorithm content.
Maybe.
Quote. Because how do you, if you don't know, like Joshua Tree, Octung Baby and Beautiful Day, if you don't know those, what do you know about U2? Like, what do you know about U2 that they didn't play?
Right.
Like, you know, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Do you know that song?
Right.
Do you know, like what, because then you don't know anything.
Right.
And that's okay. You don't have to, but it's like going to a U2 concert, knowing no songs and going, they didn't play anything I knew.
Right.
Then you don't, like, I will go to a Bruce Springsteen concert in Vegas. I'm sure I'll know at least half the songs.
Yeah, you will.
But if he did some, you know, these are only the songs that like my most devoted people know, I'd still be like, then I could be like, yeah, I have 7 Bruce Springsteen albums and I didn't know one song that was played. You know, that would mean he'd have to skip everything from Born in the USA to present.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Badlands could not be played.
Yeah,
and
right.
The River and Born to Run.
Right.
So if you go to a U2 concert and go, I didn't know anything they played. It's like, what?
Right.
That's on you. That's not U2's fault. They don't need to hang it up. And certainly with a sold out like 40 show residency, I don't know. That's the people who in the room where you're killing go, not funny. I'm sorry. Could you say that louder? Everybody's laughing. I couldn't hear. You're not funny. Oh, oh, phew. For a second, 299 other people laughing had me convinced that I was.
Right.
But you have spoken. But I wanted to just quickly, before we get to the main topic today, I want to do something that's been overdue. And a lot of people have been asking me, Jail, who are you voting for in 2024?
People are talking.
Are you going third party? Are you looking to see who No Labels puts out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you staying away? Are you staying away from the voting booth altogether? And I'm happy to announce today, officially, I'm voting for Joe Biden.
November. No way.
Yes.
I got to.
I've weighed the factors. I've looked at it. I've said, all right. Now, I don't have this stupid shit that people have now, which is like Trump amnesia. They love to name things. That's the new thing. Like some people were in eighth grade are now eligible to vote and they don't really remember how bad Trump was. And I was like, shoot their parents then it's just drown them and their parents in a bathtub because January 6th, if I'm in eighth grade and there's a first ever coup, I know, I remember that, you know, is there any eighth grader who's like, God, I remember 9/11. And then 4 years later going like 9/11, was that what happened? Was it that bad? Oh, what? Oh, it sounds familiar. It sounds familiar. I'm sorry. I was in eighth grade. I'm sorry. Did you say you were in your eighth month of gestation? No. I was in eighth grade. I was a sentient 14-year-old. Oh, then you're a fucking idiot. You're an idiot. Your family sucks. You should remember that Trump was fucking dog shit and an attempted traitor, which, by the way, attempted treason is treason. It's like one of those crimes where the attempt is the crime.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still a traitor, whether you fail or succeed at treason, you've committed treason. But no, there's this.
I was in seventh grade for 9/11. I remember it pretty well.
You do?
pretty minute by minute.
Okay. No, I don't. Mike, you got to remember, I was in law school. So I was like, you know, I'm engaged in society at that point.
Right.
But you're saying you remember it too.
Pretty well.
Let me tell you something. This is how crazy and fucking weird I am.
Yeah.
I was in first grade. So in kindergarten. I was either in first grade or kindergarten. When the Challenger exploded?
Mm.
Am I a weirdo that I remember that? That I don't have Challenger amnesia?
You know you're an 80s kid when?
You can fucking remember things. Yeah, that wasn't that. I mean, but Trump amnesia. It's like, I don't know. Biden's doing such a terrible job. Oh, that you're paying attention for.
Yeah.
You're paying enough attention to listen to bullshit. that he, anyway. But I am proud to endorse the Biden Harris ticket once again. No need to wait for Taylor Swift. I think the Biden administration just got the celebrity endorsement they were waiting for. But it's I think Joe Biden is old. We know that. Donald Trump is also old, but evil. Mm. And pursuant to a clip we put out a few weeks ago, I found it funny watching like a town hall, and you just when the guy asks like, "And you're a Trump voter?" And may I ask what's your reason? And they he is a patriot. He is, and I go, "Oh my God." It really is for these people. It's all about the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to be an American. Like if Donald Trump just carried that around like a boombox, like say anything, like it's Lee Greenwood, but then is like, you know, raping your sister in front of you. But you're like, God, what a patriot.
Yeah,
it's obscene. It's absurd. But I remember Donald Trump calling, you know, white supremacists very fine people. I remember his civil conviction or his civil verdict for basically rape. I remember him saying he can grab women by the pussy. I remember him cheering on a coup and being okay with his vice president getting hanged by a lynch mob. I remember him shoving just little things like shoving a world leader out of the way so you get to the front of a line at like a meeting. I remember him like verbally sucking off Kim Jong-il and looking like a total pussy in front of Vladimir Putin, questioning U.S. intelligence agencies in front of, you know, the new Hitler. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And I know I keep making that reference, but it's like, read your history. I'm not saying he is as bad in terms of what could happen, but it's the same playbook. It's the same playbook. And it's, you know, that's Trump's crew. You know, Kim Jong-un or Il. Kim Jong-un is the, right?
Un, yeah.
Yeah, Il was the father.
Mm-hmm.
Putin, these are his people. And oh, by the way, just on the Israel-Gaza issue, for people who want to sit out, they don't like Biden, I'm not going to tell you not to feel that way. I can understand it. I understand. I feel like I understand both sides pretty well as far as emotions. But when asked about it, Trump said, "BB needs to do better on PR."
I hadn't heard that.
That's a quote.
That is insane.
That's a quote. That's not me making a joke. That's a Donald Trump quote. So if you're wondering, hey, is Biden reprimanding BB strong enough? I think you can be angry at how he's handled it, of course. But he is definitely in a diplomatic way trying to pair it back and trying to find an angle that can work. Now, unfortunately, what I think a lot of people realize is ain't no angle with Bibi Netanyahu. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But he's going through kind of the
bad guy.
He's going through the playbook, the how to treat an ally who's being a cunt.
Yeah. Right.
Is that a book I can write? Can we get that out before the election?
No,
probably not. Self-published?
Patreon.
Oh, there you go, guys. Support my book. My future book by joining my Patreon. That's not a guarantee that I'm not legally obligated to do that. Just join the patreon.com/JOCavan. But the point is, I think he's going through the diplomatic playbook of like, if he were not an ally, he would have like condemned him on day 10.
Right.
But they're a strong ally. And some people just don't like that slow march of diplomacy. And I get it. There's lives being lost and atrocities being committed. But I still say it is a psychic wound on the people of Israel, what happened October 7th. Bibi Netanyahu is a piece of shit. And Trump's solution, in case you want to sit this one out, because this is one of those, if you're a person who hates what's happening in Gaza, and that is your decisive issue, I should say. Most people probably don't like what's happening there, but if that's your decisive issue, just know that the guy who will get in if Biden loses said BB's problem was PR.
Yeah.
You know what? Still seems worse than whatever you think of Biden. That still feels worse.
Yeah.
Spin is his. So with that in mind, as a history lesson for everybody who's forgotten all those years back when Donald Trump was president, way back in a quainter time where you could walk with a tiki torch to protect a Robert E. Lee statue. Those were better times for our country. If you were in sixth, if you were in eighth grade and just, you know, too busy on the new cell phone that your shit parents let you get and bury your fucking face in, wake up. Everybody share this with your high school senior grandkid. I know my audience. Share it with your grandkids and let them know. Get your head out of your cell phone and, more importantly, out of your ass. Biden 2024. And now a break. And we're back. Mike, how was the break for you?
Yeah. It was great, JL.
Do you want to get...
It was the last break Joey Ramone heard before he died.
Oh, man. Hey, everybody. Hey. You know, the people aren't getting enough breaks. We don't support unions in this country. We got even more breaks. That's why Nationwide Insurance wants to cover me. Anyway, guys, the break had me thinking about this week's topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, this may not interest people, but it interests me because I think as this show coalesces around a general theme, the haters, the cynics, the non-deep thinkers will just say, oh, is this the show? Rain on your parade. It's just JL complaining, being an old man. Okay. There's a method to this madness. And it's come about organically, to be honest, because when I was younger, it was very easy for me to think of topics of things annoyed me or that I wanted to complain about. It could be something like, I remember early episodes of the dead name of this podcast, Righteous Prick. Cupcakes.
Yep.
Was an episode. And we talked about cupcakes here as well, but it was like, why are cupcakes becoming a thing? I had an episode on bacon. How bacon suddenly became the thing. We all liked bacon. And then there was this moment where it's like bacon was the thing. Bacon.
It was weird when it did.
It was weird.
Yeah.
See, so I knew I was doing something correct with that show, but it would be like Louis C.K., Kobe Bryant. Like, it was so easy to just be like hyper-focused on little things and make a fun 45-minute episode out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember your patron, Corinne, was actually a guest with now Gary Goldman's wife, Sade, on an episode about sex work.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think I made a compelling case. I mean, they didn't agree with me, but I made the argument, the court-like argument for like, I know we're all pro-sex, we have to all be pro-sex work. It's just, and I go, when you've worked as a prosecutor, and I'm not some GOP, like hardcore prosecutor type, but when you've seen the broad spectrum of sex work, that it's not just hot chicks trying to get money for a Porsche. Mm-hmm. When you see the broad range of it, it's a lot more nuanced than like, it's work, support it. You know, because then the nuts and bolts of it make it very difficult for it to be the work that people claim they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I said also that I think laws should sometimes reflect the values of a society. It's not always just a live and let live. Sometimes a society is not, and there's too many bad faith actors, unfortunately, in our politics. But I don't think you have to be a bad faith actor or a Puritan to be like, yeah, I don't think prostitution should be legal. I get why people would argue the other way, but I don't think it's necessarily just some hypocritical, you know, Christian douche who's like, no prostitution. I'm like, when you see the broad swath of it, you go, there's an argument for it to be criminalized.
Right.
Not necessarily in the way that it is. But anyway, but JL, you want to talk about remote work.
Yeah, but you had another thing. Yeah.
Yes. But the theme of this show now is sort of coming clear to me because I don't think in as many small complaints anymore. So I ponder throughout the week, like, what can I talk about? Because it's easy to be like, let's, you know what I fucking hate? A pizza shop near me. Piece of shit. Oh, can I give you one sidebar about a pizza shop?
You're gonna anyway.
Because obviously,
Vinny,
he's got something to say. Now, JL lives in a town in New Jersey. Okay, right. He said I could talk about this one. But JL lives in a town in Jersey that's full of eggplants and Mexicans. It's very diverse in Essex County, which is where all the Fanuc Democrats live. And except for Fairfield. Fairfield is nice people. It's like a nice little red dot in gay, blue, liberal Essex County. But anyway, there's this nice pub in JL's neighborhood opened up. 2020. It was very sad. They were going to open up and then the pandemic hit. So they were closed for like 6 months.
Okay, hard-working Italian guys running an Irish pub. Okay. You know, years ago, that wouldn't have been allowed. We made a lot of progress on the Irish and Italian communities. You know, we would have been fighting. But now it's okay. We're all white. So if an Italian wants to open up an Irish pub, there's peace. And that's a nice thing. You know, the left don't talk about all the peace that we got on the, on our side, but we're coming together. But the JL is sitting there with his lady, who, by the way, is half Irish, half Italian. So, like, I don't know what the fuck she's doing with this. You know, tall, liberal, like, type guy.
Yeah.
But the owner comes out of the pub and he says to the, he's three African-American teenagers walk by and he's fixing the gas lamp, you know, because this was a little cold. So they had those, you know, remember when we had to be, well, you got to mask up and got to have outside eating because the liberals are sad. And they, he was doing the gas. He was changing the gas tank like a good, hardworking Italian American.
Right.
And these three African American teenagers walked by and went boom, you know, to try to scare this nice, hardworking Italian guy, like while he's fixing like a gas tank. They didn't say it too loud, but they, you know, they were trying to make a joke.
Right.
And so, you know, JL and his radical left race traitor girlfriend are sitting there with their masks on. Okay, the mask, but you know, JL, he's a sneaky one because he's got that, you know, you could think he's Italian when you don't see, you know, the dad picture.
Right.
And so the owner of the restaurant makes a little crack. He looks at them, he sees them walk away, and he shakes his head for a while. And I knew what JL was thinking. He's like, what's this guy going to say? He's probably going to say some like N-word type thing. Or he's thinking it because he always thinks the worst of us. And then this nice hardworking Italian guy just simply says, psh, orangutans.
Oh, no.
Right. You thought he was going to say the N-word, but he went nice. He went nice with it. Right. You thought it was going to be, but he went nice. And all of a sudden, JL's like, I'm never eating there again. He offended me. So they haven't eaten there in 3 years.
I thought this was something that just happened.
No. Because JL didn't win, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Because now they're opening up a pizza shop in the town also.
Oh, no.
So that's proving the cancer culture don't win.
Oh, man.
Isn't that a great thing?
It is. It's a victory for you, Vinny.
It's a total victory.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're victorious.
You know, he did good work with the Irish pub, and now they let him have a pizza joint with that Italian.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for him to... You know, he's going to say, what do you want? Do you want, instead of eggplant parmesan, he's going to have orangutan parmesan. Because you can't let the left win.
Right.
You can't let them win. So that's a nice little tidbit from JL's town. It's nice to see that the liberals aren't taking over everything.
Yeah. You still got Jersey, Vinny.
Still got Jersey. It's a nice thing. So I'm going to get the fuck out of here. JL's got to talk about some bullshit.
Well, Vinny, it's always great seeing you, man. You really, your trip off the old block, you remind me a lot of my own family. Did you see him on the way out, Vinny?
I was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He was here?
He was here for a little bit, yeah. Tell me some story about some orangutans and stuff.
Oh, the pub in my neighborhood where the guy just said something blatantly racist.
No, some zoo thing. But were you at a pub?
Zooropa? You know whose album is Zooropa?
Yeah.
We're so off the rails right now.
No, we're back on. Remote work. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
When I was thinking of a topic for today, I was like, remote work. A lot of us are doing it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I think it is yet another, it's when I worked at the law firm for 4 years, I couldn't wait to get back to the office. I hated working in my apartment, not for any reason, but it's like, I like my apartment to be the place where I relax, where mm-hmm. I sleep, where my children play with their toys. Second best godfather, everybody. And it's amazing how a godfather quote gets me sucked into that.
Like, stop, I'm like, what it, was stop that? It. Keep making your point.
I don't. Remote work to me is a great thing to have as a, hey, work can keep going. If you're in a tough place, if you need it, we have the technology to allow you, hey, there's a flood in your house. Hey, a kid's sick. Hey, great. Great tool to have to add convenience. But this idea that remote work become normal for so many places, I think is absolutely terrible. Mm-hmm. Like basically this podcast is becoming like a Black Mirror where I'm just like, also another thing about technology, it's killing us all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's my broad thesis. I obviously we can hit specific points, but I have a job right now that's remote. I have it because I need to get money. So that was the one that popped up. I took it because otherwise, like in my field, the temp work of the legal field, mm-hmm. most are becoming remote because they can cut corn. They can save on office space.
Right.
They can pass those savings on to prospective firms to make themselves more competitive.
Yep.
The savings do not get passed on to the worker. In fact, since remote work started, and yes, you save on transit. But since when I got my job at the firm in 2019, I was getting on average $32 an hour for these legal assignments. And some good ones were like 40, 42 an hour. And a lot of times it's not super intensive work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time consuming. It's a little annoying. Now the average is 30. Like in 4 years since being laid off, 4 years since I had one of these jobs, the price has gone down because the savings is not being passed on.
Right.
To us, like we're not like, hey, you can work at home and get 35 an hour. No, it's being passed on to the law firm. So they keep getting business. So it's a great example of how remote work is going to work. It works best for who wants it the most. And I remember working at the firm when we had to come back to the office 3 days a week. That was good. I liked 3 days a week. I would have done 4 weeks. I came in sometimes 4 days a week because I worked better getting out of the house, having my big office set up. You know, free lunch on the firm, you know, and it was like, a lot of people didn't want to come in. But I think we are in this place now where, like, we've given over so many things to technology. When you see somebody hailing a cab, like refusing to hail a cab in a rainstorm because it says my car will be here in 6 minutes. A cab just went by you.
Yeah, I know.
You're in the rain.
I think that's so silly.
Yes.
But, yeah.
But that's like what it's doing. We're in this kind of like dance where it's like, who's leading who now? Because we're both dance partners in this, like, let's change who the fuck we are, because technology is always better, is always the better option. And I think I saw it with coworkers who would be like, oh, I can't believe they're making us fucking come in. And then now I have a friend who's he works for a new firm. He got laid off with me. He works for a new firm 5 days a week remote. The first thing he said when he took the job was, well, now I'm stuck out here on the island for by myself all the time. I'm like, yes, yes. Do you see, like, you like the concept. We all like the concept of remote work, but I feel like remote work at its best, and people can throw out the, what if you have childcare issues? What if you have, what the fuck did you do before? If you have a childcare issue, like you know, a lot of jobs would let you, the jobs that would let you stay home with a sick kid are still the jobs that would let you do that. Like, and the jobs that wouldn't are still the jobs that wouldn't. Like, if you are a Walmart greeter, they're probably not as open to you just randomly being like, can I work from home today?
Right. Sure.
So it's, I don't think that's actually changed that much. So it's been better for some people. Okay. I'm not denying that you look at the data, you get stories from people. There will be some people who are like, it's great. But I think a lot of people are in denial. Like my friend who was like, I can't believe they're making me come in. Cause it's like this, the same way kind of Republicans have that kind of like liberty, freedom means nobody tells me what to do. It doesn't mean bodily autonomy for women. It doesn't mean like free speech necessarily. It means you don't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's more of this spiteful, like, I don't like being told what to do is what I want my work to be. And I think we deny in a real way our nature. I love coming here. I know, you know, you work very hard here. And by the end of a long day, you're probably like, Jay, I'll wrap it up. I like coming here. It's, I like seeing you. I like doing the show. I like socializing. Even if like 90% of it is on mic, it's still like, I like that. I like going to an office. If I have a job, I don't want to have a job except comedy. Mm-hmm. But if I have to have a job, I like going to an office. I thrive in an office. It's weird, but like, you know, crack some jokes. Work goes by a little faster when you're with people. And I think a lot of people deny that that's true because they like the concept of, if I don't ever have to come into the office, that's great. And then we're going to have a bunch of, that'll be the adult version of the kid buried in their cell phone. We'll be buried in our home office and we'll think, oh, this is so great. We're not meant to be in solitary confinement. as like a, and I know, I see the wheels turning where you're like, you're taking a little far, Jail. Yes.
No, I have share feelings about
it. Share your thoughts.
I think that, I know a lot of people who have really enhanced their lives for the better by having the ability to work from home, specifically young parents. So I know your childcare point is still your childcare point, but the way that I see it as a person that is very pro labor, I understand your point that a lot of the savings don't go back to the workers, which is true. I mean, I haven't seen statistics, but I believe that, you know, I don't think that they're never going to do anything that's actually going to make it more.
When you cut the prices on a remote attorney, you have to pass that on to them.
Right. Understanding that's never going to happen. But I do think, as somebody now who has essentially worked remote for since the pandemic, I mean, you can count this as like in an office, but let's be honest, this is like, I'm here alone and I'm the boss here. Like, nobody really, you know, I work with people, whatever. But the perks are that I don't have to commute ever anywhere unless I like have specific business somewhere, which is like mostly at my discretion. And like my dad, for instance, a lot of people that live in the suburbs that work in the city. My dad would have to take a bus to Jersey City every day from where my parents live in Howell, which was like an hour and a half. He would lose 3 hours a day sitting on a bus, and he'd have to wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to get to work. But for like 8:30, like, to me, that seems like so much time wasted. And even what you're saying in the office, like, I think a lot of people feel, at least my generation and below, that like work is not really meant to be a social, like work is work. And in our generations, you would go to work and you'd make the best of it, but you'd waste a lot of time in the office. Like you're saying, you go in, you make some jokes, you do this, you do that, but like, wouldn't you rather just get your work done with nobody bothering you at home and then just like log off for the day?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's a personal preference, but I think a lot of people feel like they.
No, but I think I am, some might call it self-absorbed. I would say self-aware of like, yes, in a it's like I do my work and then I go, but like you, I don't have the data to back this up.
Right.
I have my anecdote, my personal experience, but also
this is a non-data conversation. Right.
But seeing it with my friends, where it's like, to quote Cinderella, "Don't know what you got till it's got." You know that song?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay. Unbelievable that guy was like a successful lead singer of a band. I mean, even by rock screecher voices, it was a real fucking weird one. Anyway.
But do you think, can I counter that again? Do you think a lot of men, specifically men, don't like this? Because like, if you have a family, you're basically like, you're done with work and you're right back in the throes of being with your family. And a lot of men don't like that.
I don't know. It could be. But I think also the same psychology for me of like, I want to separate those places, not even as a,
that I get,
like, yeah. To me, it's not, I need to get out of the house because Laura's about, no, it's me and Cookie hanging out
right
during the day. She works in retail, so she's got to go out.
Right.
But I like home. Being home,
which I completely understand and is very fair.
Like a lot of things, I don't think we have everybody can talk about how remote. See, this is what I'm saying. We all as a society are like, remote learning was a fucking catastrophe for the development of our children. It was the worst. It was awful. And yet as adults, we're all like, but for adults, fuck any socialization. We're fine working remote and living as like in our own pod.
But I think it's different. I do think it's different
because no, I'm not saying they're the same.
Yeah.
But I'm also saying it's possible that it's not a, children need tons of socialization. Agreed. Adults, who gives a shit? Like, we have jokes about lone gunmen and loners and things because we admit at a certain level being a loner and isolated is horrible, no matter what your age is.
Of course, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's where there is probably a middle point, even if it's not the middle, even if it's closer to where you are than I am. It ain't all remote work.
Yeah,
is perfect. Like there is a level, but I am, I am somebody who I think, enjoys not to go Chandler Bing here. Of course, you can't be Chandler Bing without somebody around to chuckle at what you said.
Yeah, of course.
But I also, there are so many things, and some of these are not like classy things to say, but it's like when you're in your home alone, you don't get to people watch. You don't get to think about, you don't get to see.
You like, take a break and go people watch.
They're all at work.
No, they're not.
They're all in their fucking rooms. They're all in their home offices or in their offices.
And if you lived in the city, I don't think you'd feel this way. Because if you could walk out into that's what true. I do. I mean, like, if I work from home on a Monday or something and I don't need to be here, like, I'll go out in the middle of the day and, like, take a walk to Whole Foods or whatever, or just down the street and just, like, do whatever. You know, that's the thing that's nice about remote working is you don't have a fucking boss checking in on you all the time. And as long as your stuff gets done, people just kind of leave you alone. That's been my experience, at least.
I'm glad you brought up bosses too, though, because that's like a tangential part of this.
Yeah.
Because I think psychologically it's still part of the same thing where I never like to get yelled at by a boss or criticized by a boss, but part of me, maybe there's just a sadomasochist part of me.
Sick fuck.
It's just like when I had, when
just
I did,
want to get dug out by a boss.
When I did Billions, okay, I had a female director.
Uh-huh.
She was so nice.
Yeah.
And it was very pleasant. But at the same time, in my head, I was like, I didn't fuck up, but when I needed to do another take, part of me almost was like, I think that comes from like coaching and sports. You're almost like, what the fuck? No, we need you to do this. Like, I wouldn't want somebody to yell at me like that necessarily. But if like David Fincher were in my face for something, I'd be like, yeah.
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 Yeah, you're a lunatic.
But the idea, like people are always like, your boss, like, we've gotten to this place, you know, my mom referred to her boss, even in death, refers to as Mr. Keibel.
Mm-hmm.
Still, because she's from that generation. But she, like, I believe in the sort of higher, like, I found it weird when I started at my first job and I called, like, my supervisor who was, like, 30 years older, like, my boss, Tommy. I was like, hey, if it's okay with you, but I'm like, if you wanted to be called, like, here's the difference, I should say. He wants to be called Tommy, call you Tommy. If he said, I'm Mr. Leahy, a lot of people would be like, that's so weird. I'd be like, I don't know why it's weird. He's the fucking boss.
Yeah.
We valorize boss, like in entertainment to be the boss, but it's like, well, this guy's the fucking boss. He's he's an actual literal boss. It's okay if he's Mr. whatever. But I know that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, the next ship is like any authority, any like, wow. I mean, your tone, like now we police tone. Like that's what I found funny. We went so quickly from me too. Like my boss tried to rape me in the ass to my boss was rude.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's not quite a me too.
Right.
That's not quite an anything. Actually, that's what I felt like happened with Cuomo. Not to suggest that maybe he didn't do some wrong things. Oh, the only Democrat I like. But with Cuomo, I remember he was one of those guys where it was like, first somebody came out with like, he made a sexual gesture and he made a flirtatious comment and then somebody said he groped them. And then they started like, so now you have an aggregate thing of like, oh, well, that's three. Now there's smoke, there's fire. And then in came he was a very rude boss. But now if you only came with the, he was a rude boss before the three sexual harassment, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
but now you're like, kind of like, isn't that like a cousin? That's like a second cousin to sexual harassment is like rude alpha male behavior. It's like, no, it's nothing. It's actually nothing. Get out. Dame, you broad, get out of here, you skirt. But I feel like remote learning is like one of these, it's another one of these, the people don't have the power. The workers don't have the power in the real way. Form a fucking union.
Agreed.
Dude, sure. No, I'm saying that's,
I agree.
That's worker power.
Yes.
Like what the UAW fucking did, got their fucking deal, even though half their workers are doing exactly, by the way, what we said, what I joked on this show, which was like, hey man, come on. We should probably clip that. Maybe did we clip that? The one about the auto union where he was like, hey, I'll let you fuck. Oh, we did clip
we
that.
We did. Yeah, yeah.
We did. Yes. Yeah. I should reshare it. I'll let you fuck Jill, man. I'm out here on the picket lines. And then they're like, but are you aggressive racist who hates unions?
Yeah.
Like half the UAW is going to be like, we're voting for Trump.
Yeah.
Even though we're actually going against what, like what's been good for us, because what we want is Trump.
Yeah.
And I think what my point, remote learning is sort of a symptom to me of this. We want all the real hard work of worker power is pickets. It's strikes. It's fight. It's doing
pulling out a gun, pointing it at the boss's head, and demanding a new contract. That's the hard work.
Yeah. Zaza!
Zaza!
No, but that's sort of my point is like there are examples of what it takes to get real worker improvements. It means voting Democrat, supporting unions, you know, using UPS instead of FedEx, you know, supporting that kind of empowerment that's real. That's paycheck and benefits real. We've gotten to this place. I know people are going to argue and they're going to argue specifics, but in the aggregate, I feel like this push is like this soft anti-authority vibe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like this, I don't know if this is offensive to say, like this limp-wristed, soft anti-authority, like, I don't want, quiet quitting, that kind of shit, where it's like, oh, look at me. No. Go, like, I think it's all symptomatic of a general, like, sort of retreat from, like, hard work and from, like,
it is.
That it's this kind
but of. But that's by design.
But that's what I'm saying. And but I'm saying I had a guy who managed me for a few months, 15, 16 years ago. I still have contact with him. Good guy. He had once said to me, he's a huge Hoops fan. Mm-hmm. He had said to me, I don't trust so-and-so like a college player in the next level. Cause he grew up in like California. He's like, I like the guys who are like in the Northeast who like to go to basketball practice every morning. It was like snowing. Mm-hmm. He's like, if they're elite, that means they've just grinded a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think collectively, this desire to keep making work easier, ignoring what I believe are important things that we need as humans. Now, you may be right. The if I was in the city, I'd be like, I'm just gonna go out and, you know, stare at some random chicks and go get a slice of pizza and imagine, you know, have a couple daydream fantasies and then come back right to work and monogamy. But I like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, but notice that with remote work, people said, well, now I don't have to live in the city. Great. I can move to I can get a house in a suburb, or I can move 300 miles away and do my, and these are all like short-term to me positives. Like, yes, of course, immediately without thinking, it's like more space, more money, don't have to be crowded. Great. And yet, the long-term effects of withdrawing from society the way we have may seem positive at first, but it's, I think, going to make us softer. And I don't mean this in like that hardcore, we got to be David fucking Goggins, like live in a city, ninth floor walk up, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. like I don't mean, I'm not talking that, but I'm saying there is some middle ground where like socialization and the role work has played in that. We all have to, most of us have to work. Mm-hmm. That's half of our waking hours. If we're getting like the necessary amount of sleep, that's half our waking hours. That's a lot of time to not be social or interactive at all in a real human way. And I just think, like I said, there's a reason loners are a cliche of a problem, because I think loners are often loners against their will. But I don't think becoming loners by choice or becoming isolated or less social by choice is necessarily like, oh, because it's done by choice, it's all roses and going to be positive. I think we will see. So my point is, I fucking hate remote work personally. And I think one day, hopefully I'm still alive to see it, when society collapses and you all hate it too. And I'll be sitting in a rocking chair going, I told you, motherfuckers. And now a break before we get to comedy talk. And we're back. How was that break, Mike?
Yeah. It's hard to believe that was part of this episode. it feels like we did weeks ago.
Yeah, this is going to go down as this podcast is going to be remembered generations from now as like deep reflective philosophy on our times. I'm not doing a punch down of the week this week, Mike.
And neither is Scott.
Because Scott couldn't make it. And I thought I'll take over duties. But then, you know, as of this recording, I've just seen Bruce Springsteen in Vegas. And, you know, I think next week, maybe we'll just, or in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. we'll talk.
I'm sure whatever the edit is, I'm going to forget, but.
Okay. Anyway. No, I'm seeing Bruce Springsteen tomorrow as of this recording.
Yeah.
As of this recording, I'm going to Bruce Springsteen. So I don't want to bring that negative. I want to be open.
You're going to have a great time.
Well, we'll see.
I'm telling you. There's just, I've never felt more confident in anything in my life.
It was great, Mike. 3 hours was awesome. And then I got some random Vegas chick pregnant. Oh, no. I don't think that's a great thing.
We went down to the river.
I don't like that song.
If you grew up in Jersey, you would.
I wouldn't like a lot of things if I grew up in Jersey then. Oh, Ma, what do you mean dads are black? Look at me. I'm clearly an Italian. I want to talk about one special, though, that I did like. So no punch down of the week. Positive vibes here. Mike's going to edit that. If he hadn't edited it, please make that your comment on the YouTube. But I think he'll edit it.
We'll see.
We'll remind him harshly. I saw Donnell Rawlings, A New Day was the name of his special. Now, this is the first of two 40-minute specials that I've seen. So we're starting to like go from hour specials and people are really over like doing too many specials. Like I see people where it's like, I think you just had 50 new minutes of thoughts and decide I got to keep pumping because as we've discussed, it's now about feeding the content machine.
Right.
And it's really gross.
Right.
It's unfortunate. And I understand why. It's the same reason why comics sell t-shirts on the road. I hate it. I don't sell them. But I get it. At the same time, I'm like, you get paid shit. This job sucks. Mm-hmm. Like the clubs pay you the same they paid 35 years ago. If you can make $1,000 on t-shirts or $2,000 on t-shirts, you do it. I don't because I'll die with my integrity. You know that, Mike. So
and you'll kill all of us with it.
Well, probably. That's the final episode. It's the final countdown. Great song, right, Mike?
Yeah, man.
Kidding. Of course that song sucks. Donnell Rawlings, A New Day. Watched it on Netflix. It's a 40-minute watch. I really liked it because I've often found he's a guy, I don't know if I've ever seen him live, but he was Ashy Larry on Chappelle's Show. That's mm-hmm. sort of his claim to fame as far as broader appeal. But he's one of those people who has such a voice and projection that it's almost like he's starting ahead because he can commit, like, there's something like about that booming comical voice that you just, it like forces you, it pulls you in right away. And I found myself laughing for most of the special. It was just, I found it very enjoyable, like standard, solid, you know, didn't really do anything hacky as far as I can remember. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, I've never heard this guy's changing the game, but it's like, he's funny. He has a great voice. And it was like a 40 minutes of like, just good shit. I was like, that was perfect. That was like, you know, I work from home. Okay. See, I'm keeping it in theme. Mm-hmm. And I use this as a lunch break. I watched his special as a lunch break. But I called it 30 minutes instead of 40. Sue me. I might get sued. Billable time. But I really liked it. So check it out. Donnell Rawlings on Netflix, A New Day. I recommend it. It's not even an hour, which I'm sure I'll be complaining about soon about whatever happened to comics doing a full hour. What the fuck? But that's not today. Today's A New Day by Donnell Rawlings. So thank you, everybody. Join the Patreon, mine and not Mike's. And
you can join mine, too.
You could join us, too. Do you have one?
Not yet, but by the time this comes out, maybe.
Check out the Patreon. Come see me live shows. I'm in Vegas tomorrow. No, I'm in Vegas 2 days from now. Mm-hmm. If this goes up Thursday, Friday, I'm in Vegas Saturday, the 23rd. A bunch of shows up on my calendar. Join the Patreon. Check out my new special, et cetera, et cetera. Give this show a nice review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and comment. You got a thought, comment, joke, and scratch that. No jokes. You got a thought, a comment, a compliment, please. Go to the YouTube version of this episode. Let's boost that engagement there. I do reply to many people. Some people take shots at Mike. I'm all for that. And I'll see you next Thursday.